Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. It's time for the QLP Poetry Reading Series. This series is designed to showcase the works of poets from around the world. The host of the program is Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Good evening, everyone. This is Michael Anthony Ingram. I am here tonight with one of my favorite guests, Todd Cirillo. Todd, are you with me?
Hey, yes, I am. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I am great. I'm even better now knowing that you're here.
That's so sweet.
You know, my friend, so much is happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about what's happening in the world? It's kind of hard for me to put into words, to be quite honest. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts?
I think that I am enjoying the way that people are adapting. I am enjoying the way that people are setting up more frequent connections, way to connect.
Yes.
You know, whether they're Skype happy hours or if they are, texting or calling people that you love, or even people that you like, or even people that, you don't even care that much about, but for some reason you feel a little bit compelled to send them a little text or email. I like that.
Right.
I like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm in Washington, D.C., and you hail from New Orleans.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I know.
You know, I worry more about you from drowning all that bullshit that comes out of there.
Yeah, I know it. Now, you're from New Orleans. What's happening in New Orleans? And be honest.
Oh, well, you know, the healthcare workers are trying as hard as they can. I think the mayor is, the governor is. It's been bad. It's been, I think that the citizens are doing a very, very good job of doing what they can, which is most difficult because this is a social city. We love to hug. We love to kiss. We love to listen to music. We love to play music, to dance, to sit and have drinks, and not just once in a blue moon or something, but on the regular. And so I think that's what's been most surprising, at just how people have gotten into it. And then on the other hand, I went and I did a series of photographs and have posted them up and have gotten just amazing responses, particularly from people who, you know, are from New Orleans and then have they're somewhere else. And to see how quiet things are, you know, it's a bit spooky. It's a bit eerie. And you know, we don't really know what to do with that exactly. But, you know, hopefully things will turn around soon, hopefully.
Yes, I can understand that. You know, one of my questions to you is, what does being creative mean to you, especially in this pandemic?
Ooh.
What does that look like?
Being creative, I think, means to find a really good mask, you know? Like, find a real cool mask that people can check out, and they go, hey, man, where'd you get that? That's all right. You know, something like that. Find little ways, you know, like... since I just did the Sierra Poetry Festival on Saturday, and that was a virtual festival that went all over the country. And even with that, when I showed up, I put my glitter on, I put my boas on, I put my Mardi Gras hat on, because why not? You know,
why not?
So I think that that's the positive creative side of this pandemic, you know, to bring a little joy, to bring a little happiness, you know, there's a whole nother side to it that's unfortunately not so joyful as well, you know?
Yes. Well, the reason that you're here tonight is to share your wonderful, wonderful work. You've got a new book coming out, Kisses from a Straight Razor.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to read
yes.
it. I was extremely impressed. Extremely impressed.
Thank you.
And I recommend it to all once it's published. So let's continue this journey. Let's start reading. Share some work with us.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. And let me just say that Kisses from a Straight Razor is coming out from the incomparable Epic Rights Press. And yeah, let's do some.
All right.
Okay. A Subtle Motivation. This happens to be my dad's favorite poem. I don't know why, but it is. A Subtle Motivation. She owns a 357 Magnum. Tells me often that she is a very good shot. I have yet to forget a birthday or special occasion. Kisses from a Straight Razor. She offers me kisses from a straight razor. She says she wants to leave her mark. I don't even have to look into a mirror to know what all the backstreet brawls, open road sun damage, scars, and smile lines have done to this face. And it won't be long until the mind goes next. So what the hell? It would be nice to have something to remember her by. Now, since I did that title poem, I'll do the title poem of my previous book, Burning the Evidence.
All right.
Some of us call ourselves outlaws, like in the old movies, running the night in a Sid Vicious t-shirt, quoting Bukowski or Blackbeard's final words, taking what we want, feeling that we are winning, one step ahead, beating the system, leaving empty beer cans, broken bones, occasionally a good poem behind, thinking nobody is as bad as me. Convinced we have planned the ultimate heist, the perfect score, only to be double-crossed by the world, which always gets the biggest share of the loot. The ultimate John Dillinger, Jesse James, Al Capone, John Lafitte, Billy the Kid, motherfucking Pablo Escobar, never growing old, never getting gunned down, never getting caught, and never fully cutting us in on the deal. No matter how much we try to be romantics, rebels, geniuses, husbands, wives, lovers, or thieves, the world comes out on top, grinning from sea to sea. The world, numb for our wants and needs, moves forward like a shark, slow in the approach, but swift and fierce when the teeth bear down. Our first kiss might be our last. The music will stop when we finally ask them to dance. We will get a red light when we desperately need green. It will take away all we have and all we ever want. All that we have saved or tried to hide, our treasures stuffed under mattresses or in old shoeboxes, hidden in dark closets, a thief of the highest and most corrupt magnitude. Those moments when it feels as though the odds are stacked against us, our motorcycle hits loose gravel, and we hear the hounds closing in. Perhaps our only option is throw gasoline all around us, flick the Zippo high into the air, burning the evidence of ourselves to become stars. Let the world make its perfect getaway, leaving us with only the ashes of what we thought was a clever and brilliant scheme, forever shining down on the whole filthy setup. One more. Narcissist lament. Looking into the mirror, he says, I'm looking for someone just like you. Yeah. How's that?
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was wonderful, buddy.
Yeah, thank you,
wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was an early experience where you learned that poetic language had power?
An early experience? Mm-hmm. You know, it probably just comes through music. It probably just comes through music. And like we briefly spoke, you know, I've been listening to Muddy Waters for the last 3 hours today. And, you know, one line out of there caught me, and no difference from when I first started thinking about poetry to now. you know, it still captures you. So I think probably out of music. Mm-hmm.
And that one line again is?
The one line is, I'm going to buy you a Cadillac if you only say some nice words about me. And I think that's how much of a sucker that I am. Yeah. That's all it takes. I'm easy. You know? And I think that's what I still look for in poetry and everything. I just look for that connection. But, yeah, just say some nice words about me, and I'm yours.
Now, have you ever thought about writing under a pseudonym? Or maybe Todd Cirillo is a pseudonym. I don't know.
No, I have before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually more longer like travel essays out there than are under a different name. But
would you share with us the poem "Spaghetti and Meatballs in America"?
Oh, yes, indeed.
I like that one.
You like that one?
That's a bit of
a timely one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. Because we're all in this thing together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah,
and
that's what they say.
If we don't believe it, then I guess we're all separate then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
true,
spaghetti and meatballs in America. Here we go. Spaghetti and meatballs in America. I ate lunch at an Italian restaurant today where the cooks were black, the busboys Mexican, waitresses were blonde, afroed or dreadlocked, white, Creole, and unknown. New Orleans jazz played and the whole place was run by an Asian family. The tables were packed with police, professionals, firefighters, millennials, military soldiers, Cajuns, slackers, lovers, fishermen, families, and one poet. The food was fantastic. If 38% of this country does not believe that this makes America great, then they deserve to go hungry. There you go. Yeah.
Right. That is powerful.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Maybe we should send it to D.C.
I think so. Hey, send it to me and I'll forward it on to the White House. I'm close with the occupants there.
Oh,
actually, I live down the street.
Well,
so I'm pretty close to the occupants.
Yeah, all right, well.
We have a caller.
Well.
We have a caller.
Even better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's bring this person on. Hold on.
I say, can you guys hear me?
Erico 608, are you on the? You're on the air.
That's me.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just been listening, and I'm in it for quite a while. I said, "Oh, I wonder if you know why I'm here."
Hey,
well, may I ask your first name?
My name's Mark.
Hello,
My name's
Mark.
Mark Prosser. I'm calling from Big Rapids, Michigan.
All right, welcome to Big Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, you are. Uh huh.
You two guys
how
know
you
each other.
Up?
Yep,
oh,
we know each
greatest.
Other. We've
we've
been running the roads together for a lot of years.
Yeah, a lot of years. As a matter of fact, Prosser was at one of the first awards I ever got for writing poetry. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
yep,
he's been the greatest
for
the very first 30 minutes.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Mark,
so tell me
do you have a question?
On,
not too much. We're just hanging. Just hanging, that's all.
No.
Do you have
I don't
a question
have a
for Todd?
Todd, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Please. When do you think you'll be able to come up and hang out on the lake, brother?
Yeah, well, how many masks you got?
Well, I don't know, but we'll find some. We'll have enough. We'll have enough when you get here.
Yeah, they haven't run out of booze up there, have they?
No. They're good on that, I think.
All right. Well, you know that I've reached that point in my career where I get to, you know, do a little. What do they call that when the artists have a backstage? You know, all their demands backstage. You know mine.
Yes.
Yep, I already know yours. And so let me just say this: as you're on the radio, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Man, I've known Todd since we were young kids. I call us kids. We were kids. And I went to one of his first awards, and I've watched him read all over the country. And you guys picked a really, really special hip cat to get on your show, that's for sure. But I didn't, you know, I know you already know that. It's been it's been really, really fun to, you know, watch him from afar grow in his craft because it is a craft, and, you know, people can try and do it, and people do it, and they come up with some decent stuff. But when you have a really gifted person that's also honed his craft, that's what you get, and it's just fantastic shit, man.
It is. It is. Todd's a good
thank
man.
Thank you so much, brother.
I'm glad he's here.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
you, Mark.
You guys have a good day.
All right.
All right. See you, brother.
All right.
Later.
Later.
Let's take a brief break and we'll be right back. I am Michael Anthony Ingram. I am here with Todd Cirillo. The call-in number is 646-787-1631 if you have a question for Todd. Todd, please share some more of your work.
Yes. All right. This one, this poem is probably as far from social distancing as they come. So, you know, that's okay. Don't take it. Don't do it literally right now. Or do it within 6 feet, yes.
All right.
Gravitational
all right.
force. All right. Gravitational force. Even at this moment, sitting across from you, working on our computers separately and silently, I can feel it like the tides reaching for the moon, an unseen force pulling me towards you. Who knew? There are days when we will put on nothing but Sonny Boy, the Wolf, Mississippi John Hurt, Muddy, Sunhouse, John Lee Hooker, and, of course, Robert Johnson. She will pick an album, then I will pick an album. We will go through breakfast, lunch, and dinner, kissing in between, laying in the grass, talking about clouds, holding hands, alternately putting our heads into each other's lap. In the background, cotton fields, trains, devils, jealous lovers, and broken hearts. Who knew the blues could make us this happy? Rock bottom, real short one. Rock bottom, when you catch yourself singing, you've lost that love and feeling to yourself. And how about one more here? True pals. Reading Matt's poetry on a Friday night, sitting at the bar, trying to pick up the most beautiful bartender I've ever seen. I have to restart his poems over and over again every time she walks by. Throughout the night, I invent stuff to ask her for, another drink, a cocktail napkin, an olive, those funny little umbrellas. It's not that I don't understand his poems. It's just I am easily distracted, yet I'm confident if Matt were here reading my book, he wouldn't get through my poems either.
You know,
you want
we have another caller.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh,
we have another caller.
All right.
Area code 504, you're on the air. The first three numbers are 717.
Okay, that's me. Todd, hi, this is Alan from New Orleans. I'm the guy who shares a birthday with old George. Right.
I know. That's my little feet buddy.
Yeah, there you go. So I love your work, and I love when you read, but I also know you as the guy who hosts the open mic at Blood Jet, a poetry reading series in New Orleans. And so I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the poetry community in New Orleans and the way in which, you know, the community of writers and poets support, inspire, you know, hold up your work, you know, as part of that community.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Alan, hey, baby. And again, happy belated birthday to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Well, you know, poetry community specifically in New Orleans, I think so I helped host and I would host the open mic part of this magnificent, truly, truly magnificent reading series called Blood Jet Poetry Series. And it went for about 6 years and the wonderful Megan Burns started it, and she's done so much for the poetry community here. And continues to do so. She started the New Orleans Poetry Festival, which I think is on its fifth or sixth year. Myself and Wolfgang Karstens and William Taylor Jr. were featured there last year. And, you know, poetry community, I think, is extremely important, whether styles match, because I think that my style is a bit different than what's out there, you know, and what's going on. But to have some spaces where you can get together, help one another, and really promote one another, I think is extremely important. And what's beautiful about New Orleans is that we're really like this, you know, this island unto the rest of the country, and we're not afraid to step out of it, but we always end up saying, why would we step out of it, you know? And hopefully each of us bring a little something when we do step out. You know, if I go perform in California or Kansas City or wherever it may be, hopefully we bring a little bit of that out there, and we get to meet great people like Alan. So, you know, that makes it all worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet of you to say. One of the interesting things about New Orleans is that a lot of the local poets also have their own small presses. You know, whether it's Lavender Inc. and Bill Lavender or Jonathan Penton or Megan with Trembling Pillow, and that's you know, that's part of what makes it a real active community. And it's, you know, people are supporting each other. Everybody's writing great work. And it's, you know, I'm not a poet. You know, my creative outlet is fiction writing. But it's just I'm moved by the, you know, the level of activity and support. And, you know, everybody really tries to make it go and holds up other people and that kind of thing. It really has been beautiful that way.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And Michael, I'll tell you why Alan is so great. He just said it because he's not a poet. And so if Alan says that he digs your work, he genuinely does. Because there's never like, hey, here's my latest chapbook coming right after it, you know. And that's the beauty of someone like Alan. If we could get, if we could get, you know, 10,000 more Alans and maybe 10,000 less.
That's a scary
poets,
thought.
I think we'd be doing well. No. I think we'd be doing well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, New Orleans sounds like a fantastic place to be.
Yes, it is.
It's
a great literary scene. It really is. That's been one of the nice discoveries for me. I've lived in New Orleans now for 11 years, and it's you know, one of the things that's impressed me and has made it, you know, even more fun than I expected was what an active, robust sort of literary scene it is. You know, and Todd is, you know, for a long time has been in the middle of that, you know, as part of Bloodjet, but also as an accomplished poet in his own right. That's been a great part of being in New Orleans.
All right. Well, very
thank
nice.
You, my man.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alan.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, guys. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was really nice.
Well, that was nice.
You were well thought of. Well thought of. In terms of your talent.
All depends.
Who
I talk
to.
You know. That's right. Yeah. That's right. All depends who you talk to.
Now, when you think about poetry, do you think that someone could be a poet if they don't feel emotions strongly, if they don't strongly feel emotions?
Can they fake them?
Can they fake them?
Fake them.
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, well, then I would say that they probably can be. Yeah, then I would say that, yeah, they probably can be, you know. Because I think that you know, some part of writing is just faking it. And it's just making up what may not entirely be there. And, you know, because I don't think that a good writer necessarily needs to feel it 100%, you know, and you know, they may take something and then expand upon it, and all of a sudden, you know, it becomes a great story, it becomes a great poem, something like that. But yeah, I think people, if you just totally worked on, I need to experience or I need to feel, you know, this totally. One, I think you're going to get a bunch of bad poetry. And two, I think you're sort of going to be full of shit because, you know, you have to expand upon it. You don't have to put down every single thing that you actually did. Sometimes it's even more fun if you have a poem that's not quite true, but everyone is convinced that it is. That,
okay.
I think, is a good one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of poetry.
Hey, I know.
You're the wisest poet I know.
Thank you very much. I'm gonna put that on my tombstone.
Does writing energize or exhaust you? You've written a lot. You're very prolific. Does it energize or exhaust you?
It energizes me. It's the only thing that I do really well in this world. It's the only thing. When it's coming, I can begin to feel it, almost like how people talk about, you know, when they're out on the Great Plains or something, they say they can feel a thunderstorm coming in. They can feel the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Same. You know, like for a few days, I can feel it happening, and it's incredible. And so then, when it's happening, there's nothing like it. It's the same as doing a performance if it goes really, really well. But yeah, it's exhilarating. Because it's a true accomplishment, and I only say that because, again, my idea of being a poet is really to just be an entertainer, not too much more.
Okay. Okay.
Don't put on all the trappings of, oh, this poem can change the world, or this poem is going to, you know, get us through these dark hours. I really think that's self-righteous, arrogant bullshit. And really what I have found is, it is, if I hold that I'm just an entertainer, you know, the audience knows that this world is full of death, and it's full of depression, and it's full of things that are just not fair. I can sit and I can talk to you about that, you know, for half the night, but I guarantee about an hour in, you're going to find an excuse to get up from the table and walk. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I want people to stay, and I want to entertain them. For the time that they give me, I want to give them something back tenfold, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It does make sense. Mm. Share some more of your work.
All right. Let's go with do this. Really short one. Knowing. What saddens me most is knowing that you're somewhere out there, not knowing where I am either. Ooh. High school reunion. At the beach bar, as far south as the road can go, a song from my high school years comes on the jukebox, The Heart of the Matter by Don Henley. It played on MTV, at slow dances, under bedroom black lights, on poster plastered walls, in the front seat of cars, behind buildings, at low lit dead ends. To get this far away, all these miles, moments, and years spent mostly on bar stools around the world, a very long, long way from those dirt road days, living in a hated town full of rotten apple orchards, run-down bowling alleys, an annual peach festival that everyone talked about year-round, cornfield drinking, all those confused first fumblings at love, only to end up back here again, fucked up with my loneliness, sitting on an old wooden bar stool with long-gone names carved into it in the sunshine and sweet breeze. Just another one of the boys of summer who tried to get away. Let's see. Two more. Al Green. Sitting together in that uncomfortable space between one more shot and the last straw. Al Green sings Let's Stay Together in the background. There's a million lines I could give voice to, yet I think if Al Green's true soul voice cannot convince her, then there's nothing I'll ever be able to say. So for once, I keep my mouth shut. Modern Love. It appeared on my phone, a brief but direct notification. Someone likes me. I opened the app to see who it was. I looked at her pics, read her profile. She likes snorkeling, kayaking, hammocks, and doesn't have any kids. I continued to scroll down, feeling good, thinking I like snorkeling, kayaking. I own a hammock and have no kids. I could feel my heart do that thing it does when excited, not stop beating, but a definite skip. Anticipation was building, like when you get the first two numbers on a lottery ticket. I scrolled some more. At the very bottom, saving the best for last, she wrote, no crazy exes. Ever the gentleman, I swiped left.
All right. Very nice. Uh-huh. You know, I had an opportunity, as I said earlier, to read your book, and I noticed the titles. Uh-huh. That the titles are amazingly detailed. What role should a title play for a poem? And if you're a beginning writer, what's important to consider when titling a piece of poetry?
I think that titles are extremely important. One, because I think that they're fun. And I think that they can set a tone or in a way, it's almost like looking across the party or looking across the bar and somebody winks at you. Now, all of a sudden, they have your attention and you are if you have some courage, liquid or otherwise, you begin to step towards them. I think that titles can facilitate the same or elicit the same type of emotion, right? So if someone mm-hmm. sees a title, if they see my title, Kisses from a Straight Razor or Burning the Evidence or Sucker's Paradise or, you know, whatever it may be, Roxy, then if it draws someone in, then fantastic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I rarely think a title should ever be longer than the actual poem.
Okay, tell me more. Tell me more.
Well, I just think it's kind of ridiculous because you set it up and you go through a 26-word title and all of a sudden the poem is, you know, 5 words. It's sort of anticlimactic. Yeah. That's what I think about titles. But I'm glad that you like mine. I appreciate it.
Oh, I like yours. Oh, yes, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Todd Cirillo. Todd, please favor us
mm-hmm.
with some more of your work.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let's get into After the Ice is Melted. After the ice is melted and the tab is paid, I'll go back to my place, unlock the gate, open the dark green door, turn on the lights and ceiling fan, and hear the silence of nobody home. Smoke break. Every morning he is there, leaning over the garbage can in front of the corner liquor store, his beer in a brown bag, his long beard hanging down, worn out construction boots, cigarette between stained and calloused fingers, on break from the big construction job on the next block at Dauphine and Dumaine. He is back at the garbage can midday, same setup, another brown paper bag. I wonder if the other guys know he is gone for the length of a 16-ounce. I am never around at the end of the day, but imagine it is the same, one for the end of work, another for the long drive home. Work is hard, life may be harder. He is alone in his thoughts, maybe in his life too. So he works the system morning, noon, and evening at $2.19 a twist off. His way of taking something back from the odds that are stacked against him. A moment that is truly his own, and with each sip, a victory. Let's see. Goodbye song. I don't want to write you a poem. I don't want to write a poem about you, but I will. And it will sound like David Bowie's final song. Audiences will clap and compliment, tell me they love hearing it. And it will make me remember how much I hated writing it. Title poem. I ask her, why do you like the title Pieces Everywhere the best? She said, I don't know. It sounds like it would look pretty. Finally, a girl who sees things my way. There you go. How about that?
You know, as you shared that last piece, it made me realize as I was thinking about your work that mm-hmm. it appeared that it was based on yearning and longing for potentially companionship. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Pull something out of the top of my head.
No, no. See, I have done what I set out to do. You understand exactly what it is that I'm putting down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
okay.
A hard place to be. Long
it is a hard place
to
be.
Be.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I guess I was expecting this long, long answer, like Obi-Wan Kenobi again.
No, come on now. Sometimes the best answer is the shortest one, the most direct one. And long and it's a hard place to be. And I don't know how much more. Why would I have to? I don't need to explain it because you got it. You picked up on it.
I got it.
And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. Beautiful.
I mean. Yeah.
I feel better now. I feel better now. Thank you.
<I'm glad. laughs>
How active are you on social media?
Oh, I think I'm as active as most. I mean, you know, got the Instagram pages, got the websites for 6 Foot Swells Press that I am a part of, and also my own stuff, you know, toddsrillo.com, 6footswellspress.com, Instagram, Facebook. And so, you know, when I was promoting the show, same thing. Use
all right.
that. I think it can be a good tool, but I also think as far as poetry is concerned, you know, it gets into poets killing poetry, man. I don't believe in these poem a day bullshit that happens out there because, you know, again, I Mark Prosser said earlier, this is a craft. And if you don't believe that, if you actually believe you can put out a poem a day that's worthwhile, two things happen. One, more than likely it's not, because there's not too many people who can actually put out, you know, pump out a quality, you know, craft. This is an art form per day. And then two, I think, you know, it's too tempting that so many people, you know, if I see another this is something I just wrote. This is a brand new poem. Here it is. And it's happening so often, I think that it really dilutes. People are just going to start skipping you. They're not going to read your words because they see you all the time. You know, you're oversaturating sort of the market. And I think that's the, for me, and I could be completely wrong, but I think that's the downside of social media. These Instagram poets, oh, Christ. You know, people are just putting stuff out there without revising. They're not editing. They're not using editors. It's just, here's how I felt. And now I just hit post, and that's it. And, you know, I mean, even our greatest supporters don't want to see us every single day. You know, our greatest lovers need a break. Our greatest partners need some type of separation, some type of anticipation. And unfortunately, I think that's one of the downsides of social media. And we're actually getting into a lot of it right now with this pandemic poetry. And you made a really nice comment about a poem of mine that I put out there. Everybody's focused on one thing and it's not producing great poetry.
Right. Food for thought.
There's one more thing for me to get kicked out of poetry groups.
and that'll do it. That will do it. That will do it. Would you read for me?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. Continue.
Well, I was going to say, and that would just show that the people aren't really honest about that. This is about all perspectives and self-expression, because sometimes someone else's perspective is just the opposite, and that can be okay too.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What would you like me to read?
I'd like you to read "The Coldest Day in New Orleans," January 18th, 2018.
Ooh, I did not have that one queued up, but it makes me happy that you like that one.
I can read it.
I'm happy to read. I got it right here, but I would like to hear what you liked about it after. But here it goes.
Okay.
True story. The coldest day in New Orleans, January 18th, 2018. The city is shut down due to ice and frigid cold, but the bars are still open and hot drinks are served while the Mississippi flows unbothered to the Gulf. We walk arm in arm to see the frozen sights of this city. It is your first time. 6 hours in at the river, I say that I love you. Simple as that. No matter how complicated it makes your life or mine, it was waiting to be said, the word sitting between us, just beneath my busted rib cage and your cheating heart, to be cracked open like a favorite book or bottle brought into existence. The two of us shivering together on the coldest day in New Orleans, holding the heat tight between us, frozen together in that moment. There you go.
What I liked, first of all, was the way that it sounds to my ear.
Ooh, thank you.
I also like that line, while the Mississippi flows unbothered to the Gulf. That really stood out to me. I could see that. I could see it. Also, when you talked about just beneath my busted rib cage with your cheating heart, some years ago I suffered a heart attack, had quadruple bypass surgery and stent surgery, and they had to bust open, if you want to say that, my rib cage. And it made me think of that for some reason. I don't know why, but it did. So it's just these things in the poem that just stood out to me as markers in my own life.
Well, that's wonderful. It probably means you're a broken romantic. That is exceptional. How wonderful. How lucky you are.
Well, thank you. What if I don't feel lucky?
Well, I don't know.
Obi, what if I don't feel lucky?
Yeah. Read more of my poems.
Oh, okay. Good answer.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. No, but that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's actually one of my all-time favorite poems. My most magnificent editor, Julie Berlin, she helped me on that one. And really got it and again, this is what I mean. If you want to be professional about the craft, sometimes the shape that you give it to a good editor, it comes back in a more succinct, beautiful, gorgeous shape. And that's what happened with that one. You know, I had it all down, but she finessed it into really finding that sort of broken ribcage beauty that poem's about.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller.
Ooh. All right.
This is your night.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Coulter.
Hey, great
job,
Michael. Yeah, you have a great appreciation for the arts. I'm enjoying this show here from my friend Todd.
Okay.
Hey.
And your name, sir?
Yeah, greetings from Hollywood, California.
Oh, wow. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'm staying in Hollywood now. I move around a lot.
You do move
yes,
around a lot.
Yes, you do. I was just in Washington, D.C. 2 months ago. I love that
place. Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm in the Merchant Marine, and that's where our school is, so I get to go there every couple of years.
Yeah. How you doing, bro? You all right?
I'm hanging in there. I got about 47 beers left in the fridge. I stocked up. I only got to walk
Good.
Three blocks. But it's Hollywood. There's
Excellent.
Like 50 people every block, so you got to wear like all the gear, you know.
I'm glad that you're wearing all the gear and that you're stocked up. I miss
yeah.
you. I worry about you. Yeah.
It's great. I had a lot of fun at the Bukowski Festival. I was down in New Orleans. We had a great night. That was awesome. That was just incredible. You have a lot of respect for Bukowski. This is his home turf here.
Yeah, that's right. So Carrie's talking about there was a Bukowski festival called Unleashing Bukowski that I helped produce here in New Orleans last August, and we just had an unbelievable, you know, we had 200 people between Friday night, another 200 people Saturday night, and just
Neely Tarkowski was there.
Neely Tarkowski was there. Yeah,
Taylor Hackford.
Yep. And I was glad that you were there, bro. Thank you.
Yeah. I hope we have many more. Yeah, Bukowski's not going anywhere. He's in the same place now.
Yes, yeah. All right. You're right. He ain't going nowhere. Good talking to you, bro.
Yeah. I want you to read Riding Giants. That's my favorite poem. It's the shortest, but it's really means a lot to me. That's a good one.
I will do that just for you. I will do that.
Yeah, man. Stay healthy. Stay healthy in D.C. too, Michael.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you later. Okay. He wanted Rodden Giants. I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, let me grab that. It is good to have such wonderful people all across the land.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Yeah,
I agree.
You think so? Yeah.
Yes, I
do. Okay. Rodden Giants for Carrie Floyd. Rodden Giants, each new love affair is like standing in front of a 50-foot wave. It looked doable from shore. That's it.
Would you recite it one more time, please?
Ooh, sure. All right, Rodden Giants. Each new love affair is like standing in front of a 50-foot wave. It looked doable from shore.
I got it.
Good. Yeah, that one's got to kind of roll over you, huh? Yeah.
I got it. Each new love affair. I got it.
That's right.
I got it.
Yeah.
You know, you've written,
but we
you've
keep
written
trying.
A number of
we
books.
We keep trying.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
You've written a number of books. In terms of your books, do you want each book to stand on its own, or are you trying to build a body of work with connections between each book?
Great question. I think that each book I would like to stand on its own, but also each one is like is just an autobiography. It's just another chapter in an autobiography. And if someone ever writes a biography of mine, they can just go through each one. But there's something really beautiful about the new one, Kisses from a Straight Razor. I think that from Epic Rights Press, I think that it, I don't know. I think it's a lot more, I feel more comfortable and confident in it.
Okay.
And so I really think that each book really should stand on its own, if we're lucky, you know. And I look forward to when it gets to come out. It was supposed to come out on the beginning of April, but then the publisher, Epic Rights Press and Wolfgang Carstens and I, you know, we just decided that in this time when people are getting laid off, people are sick, people are worried, people are anxious, that, you know, to say that all of a sudden we're going to go out and we're going to push these books. Same for 6 Foot Swells. We have two amazing, incredible books by Wolfgang Carstens and William Taylor Jr. that are supposed to be coming out. But when we look and we see it in this time of someone pushing their book or their work, in our opinion, you just it's hard not to come across as a dickhead of being like so tone deaf that, you know what, the time will come when we can get it out, but now's not the time, you know.
Right.
That's what we believe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of awareness in that that's important.
I like that.
I
think
man.
So. And on top of that, you know, like we to really promote, you got to get out there, and you got to do shows, you got to do readings, and none of those are happening right now. And but really, yeah, really, it just comes down to, you know, save your money for some soup or something, or for buying, you know, buying a healthcare worker a meal or something. You know, this will come out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Share some more of your work, please.
All right. Nothing wasted. I'm using the last of your shampoo. I spent the 84 cents left on the desk where there once stood a vase with yellow flowers. I am playing the Pink Floyd album, You Forgot. I gave the leftover pack of cigarettes to the first homeless person I saw. Instead of throwing it all away, I thought, why waste it? There's been enough of that already. Poetry anthology. I'm always thinking about doing an anthology of poems about bad readings. That way, when one of the poets say to me, hey, I want to be in the book, I can say to them, don't worry, you are. Flowers at midnight. I give you flowers at midnight so that in the morning, when the sun hits them, you will see me in a whole new light. Would you like me to do my quarantined poem?
Yes, please, please.
Ooh. Oh, all right. Quarantined, stuck inside, isolated and alone, while more and more bad topical poetry invades social media, attacking me like a virus. That's that one. And I appreciate your comments about that poem, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. As you think about your readers, what piece of advice would you give your readers about your work? What piece of advice would you give someone?
Buy more books.
Planning to read one of your books. Yes.
Yeah, buy more books. I don't think I'd give them any advice except to, you know, like mix a couple drinks, try to get with someone that you're attracted to, and then read away. I think so.
We have time for one more. Please favor us again.
All right. Okay. A writer's exit. I would have checked out, disappeared, ended it all long ago, but I keep revising the note over and over again and again. I change one word or move sentences around, wondering whether to write in present or past tense. What is the proper closing salutation? Multiple crumbled up drafts of one note, too vain to leave anything less than spectacular, always hoping to gain some new fans, no matter the cost.
What a great place to end. You know,
yeah.
What is next for you? Where do you go from here in terms of your writing?
I'm getting Kisses from a Straight Razor release with Epic Rights Press, releasing the two books with 6 Foot Swells Press that I'm extremely proud of, from Wolfgang Carstens and William Taylor Jr., and then setting up as many readings as I can once this thing sort of relaxes and we all feel safe again to be in a room. Yeah. And, you know, just trying to write, because being inside, this is not good for me. I can't write inside. I got to go out. This sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you. Thank you again for just dropping in, dropping by just to say hello and to spend some time with us. You're one of my favorite people, and I always enjoy hearing your work. And not only listening to your work, I enjoy listening to the wisdom that you share. And that, to me, is the greatest gift that you can give another person, is that wisdom. and I commend you for that.
You.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. And
all right.
Yeah, people can find all my stuff on Amazon, so they can go on Amazon and check it out, or toddsrillo.com.
Fantastic. Well, good night, everyone. Until next week, be safe out there. All right.